I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible with you, could you please turn to Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2. And let me read to you three verses from there, verse 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Now I've chosen verse 20 as a text this morning. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here the context of this verse, in fact you can say this verse is the main key verse of the book of Galatians. Paul was having a problem with the Christians there. Some false teachers have infiltrated into the church and taught them that they need to be circumcised and do good works or observe the works of or observe the law in order to be saved, not just by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was this problem, and Paul had to discuss, had to explain to them that the only way that they can be saved, the only way that they can be reconciled with God, the only way they can be accepted by God is not through the keeping of the law. In fact, Paul says that if they can keep the law and be saved and have the righteousness of God imputed upon them, then Christ's death on the cross would be in vain. That's what Paul says here in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is if righteousness come by the law, the righteousness that God demand of everyone. If we can get that righteousness to stand before God, God, we can tell God, God, I have kept the law and I'm righteous before you. I have the right to stand before you. I have the right to go to heaven. I have the right to be saved and not to be cast and condemned and thrown into the lake of fire and go to hell. If righteousness can be obtained that way, Paul says, then Christ crucifixion and death on the cross is in vain, useless, empty, worthless. But Paul says, no, you can't. You can't keep by, you cannot have the righteousness of God on you by keeping the law. Because by the law, no one can be saved. Very true. You just look at the Ten Commandments. You just break one law, and we are guilty. Adam and Eve only broke one law. One law, one commandment was given to him, and that was that you should not eat of the fruit, forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just one law, and he broke that. And that's enough. And he was condemned. They were condemned. And then God has to find a way and a means of trying to draw man unto him. So, in a way to speak, that God went into plan B. And that plan B was to send the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we believe that, God, by His grace, imputes His righteousness on every believer on the grounds that the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, paid that penalty for sin. And so because of that, here we have Paul in this argument in the end declared in this verse, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a wonderful verse. And I believe that many of you, if not all of you Christians, you have committed this verse into your mind, to your heart. You remember this. You know how to recite them. And I hope that not only you recite them, but you can know the power of this word and how it can influence your life. I believe this verse, in fact, gives every Christian a primary principle of Christian living that will stabilize, secure, and strengthen our life. It's so wonderful. If you have remembered this verse and think through it, may God's word here really strengthen you in your Christian life. You have a principle of life to practice. It's wonderful. In fact, Paul here says in this verse, let me put it in this way, what Paul says, suppose you commit a capital crime and the law convicts you and has the right to execute you once, only once. And suppose they put you in the gas chamber and release the gas. After the gas clears away, the executioner opens the door and unstraps you. Just at that moment, you return to life, you rub your eyes and exclaim that it is good to be alive again. Just at that moment, the executioner faints. And you walk out of there with the law, having no further claim on you. So Paul's point is this. As long as you live, the law's claim is cancelled. If you come alive after that death, the law can make no claim on you. That is true in human law, the law of this country and of many other countries. And that's also true of the law of God. Of the law of God. And that's why Paul said that he has been crucified with Christ. In a spiritual sense, when Christ died on the cross, Paul also died with Christ in a spiritual sense. Now, the extent of this application of this truth is for us. We remember this verse and this truth and internalize it and then apply in our lives. It truly can help us to live our Christian life to the praise and glory of His name. We can face any circumstances in life and be victorious. Look at the verse very carefully. There are at least four elements. First, I am crucified with Christ. And the second one is, nevertheless I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the third, the life which I, which now I live in the flesh, I live by faith of, in and of the Son of God. And the fourth, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us look at the first element. I am crucified with Christ. Before a man is converted to Jesus Christ, he is under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of God, before a man is converted to Jesus Christ. In other words, before you are a Christian. John 3:17, 18 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Those who have not believed in our pre-Christian life, if we are a Christian before we become a Christian, we believe not in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to God's word, we are condemned. Romans 6:23. And what is that condemnation? "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." In other words, every one of us in the sight of God is a sinner, and a sinner must be punished. God is holy, and we are his creatures. He has created us to worship him, to glorify him, to honor him, to serve him. But each one of us has turned our backs to him, rejected him. And in his grace and mercy, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us, open a way for us to come back to him. And Christ died on the cross. And when the gospel is preached and people reject the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth not is condemned already, for the wages of sin is death. So a Christian at a particular point of time is one who has believed and received Christ as his Lord and Savior personally. In other words, every one of us who is called himself a Christian, at one particular point or moment in your life in the past, you have come under the conviction of your sin and need of Savior. When you hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you, for the sins of the world, you apply that to yourself. That he died for you. He died for me, for my sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, personally, for my sin. Because God loves you and God loves me. He died for us. At one point in your life, moment in your life, you were convicted of that. You may wept. You may have wept, I do not know, but you were convicted of that. You saw yourself a sinner before God, and then you prayed to God, "Father, forgive me. I thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love and for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, for my sins, that Christ there died, paid for my sins. It's only his death can pay for my sins. Thank you. Come into my heart." And God promised to do that. And God promised. In fact, God did. So here Paul says that at a point in his time, when he was formerly not Paul, he was called Saul. And he was convicted of his sin. And so he personally said, "I am crucified with Christ." In fact, he's the one who should die on the cross. He knows that. You are a sinner. One day you'll be condemned under the wrath of God. But because of God's love, Christ died and paid the penalty for him. Only Christ can, because he is sinless. And Christ, God will accept Christ's death on the cross, the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. for the sins of the world. When he says the sins of the world includes you and me. And Paul personally says, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, he said, I died. Saul, the previous one, the old, the pre-Christian Saul has died on the cross. Saul has died. And so he had his new name. When he became a Christian, he's called Paul. You have that. That experience, that moment. It's very important that you experience that moment. If you have not experienced that moment of conviction of your sin before God and accepted and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and identify yourself that you are crucified with Christ, that the old person is dead, Ku Hong Guan is dead. But now Stephen Ku, the new person, you must identify that. Have you? Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Dead. The pre-Christian Paul, who is called Saul, is dead. That is important. That brings us to the next truth. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Nevertheless, I lived, just as Christ rose from the dead. And Paul says, I am crucified, meaning dead. He also lived with Christ. In the flesh, he lived. This is more. Just as Christ rose again from the dead, Paul also rose from the dead. He lived again. And therefore, in application, we Christians, every Christians, having believed and received Christ, also resurrected with Christ spiritually for the moment. Because the day will come when we have to die physically, if Christ should tarry and not return, and we die first. The day will come when our bodies will be resurrected again to have the same body as the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the moment, we still live. When we are crucified with Christ, spiritually, we also are dead with Him. But at the same time, He rose again from the dead. How is this possible? It's not possible with the power of men. The Bible says that it is according to the power that worketh in us. When we are crucified with Christ and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ came into our lives, and that power is in us. We are resurrected again. Only God can do that. The Apostle Peter also explained in this way. Wherefore, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There's the promises of God. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, here Peter says that we might be partakers of the divine nature. God has promised us that if you and I have accepted, like Paul accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christ comes into our heart, that power that works in us, we therefore have a part of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. Now, Paul in his letter to the Ephesians also explained this way, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. See, in point of time, you hear the word of truth, I mean, you hear the gospel of the salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit promised that when you believe, the Lord Jesus Christ says the Holy Spirit will come and lived in you. which is the earnest of our inheritance, the Spirit there indwells in us. And that is our guarantee that we are reconciled to God, we belong to Him, we will go to heaven, we are delivered from the wrath of God to be cast into the lake of fire. We have a part of that divine nature. So a Christian is sealed with the Holy Spirit by his indwelling him. Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Do you know that? If you say that I don't feel it, but it's not by feeling, it's by the word of God. If you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and you trust it, you believe in it. Remember, I just earlier said that point of time, that moment of time you were convicted and you hear the gospel and you believe it. Then God said that He will give you. He will send the Holy Spirit to live in you. God says here, the Holy Spirit of promise is not by feeling, you have. And if God say, and if you have sincerely, and God said, it is done, and that's it. That settles it. You have the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, sincerely, you know you are a born-again Christian, you have. Paul has that assurance. Nothing to be boastful. It's not being proud. If somebody, you said to someone, yeah, I have the Holy Spirit, I am saved. Wow, you're so proud. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be proud. It's nothing. You have the Holy Spirit not because of good works, all right? You have the Holy Spirit because you repented and because God says, I will give you the Spirit. The Spirit will come into you. That's your guarantee. Christ said, God said, and so you can say, giving God all the glory, that I have the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Satan will come around and tell you, try to make you doubt it. I should not say. If I say, I'm proud. Yes, proud for whom? For God. I'm proud for God. I have the Holy Spirit. Not because of my pride or because I'm on good works. I have the Holy Spirit because I'm a sinner. Saved by grace of God. God has given me the Holy Spirit. In that way, He will overthrow Satan's attempt to cripple you and to chase your friend away. Oh, by the word of God. Wonderful. You have. I pray that each one of you have the assurance to say, I have the Holy Spirit. Don't feel that you are proud. No, no, no. Don't be proud, okay? You're only proud for God. You have the Holy Spirit because you have belief. So, once now, nevertheless, as Paul said, I live, and Christ liveth in me. You have that because God promised you. There was a time when I backslided. And then among a few friends, I would sit down and then we were talking about religion. And suddenly I asked them, what are you? First of all, I asked a question. Are you all saved? Now, I'm using a term, very theological term. Are you saved? A very biblical term. The word saved. And I asked the first person, he said, what do you mean saved? What do you mean saved? Then I say, you are not saved. Christ doesn't know what he means. So you're not saved. So then I explain further, you're a Christian. And then so another person says that he believes in this, another person believes in that. And I say, all of you not saved, all of you not cannot go to heaven. But I can go to heaven. Who do you think you are? You think you're very good, you're a very good man. No. I'm not a good man. I can go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Because he saved me. All my sins were paid by him. I said that. So I said to them, if you also believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you're convicted. You believe you're sinners. You believe that? You repent of your sins before God and then accept Jesus Christ that He died on the cross for you. Only you put your name there. Christ died for me. And receive Him. You also will go to heaven. All your sins will be blotted out. All your sins will be washed away. And God sees you as righteous. Every sin, no matter how small, is washed away completely. You are as white as snow. The righteousness of God, you are with Him. Not by your works, okay? Or because of Christ. So there's nothing to be proud of to say that I have the Holy Spirit. I am saved. Alright? So be thankful and proud of this for God. And so you do not know when you say that, your friends may come to know Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Now the next thing it says here, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. This is a new life. This is a new principle in life. Saul, no more. Now Paul. Ku Hong Guan, no more. Now Stephen Ku. You also. I don't know what's your previous name. Anyway, the previous life, no more, is crucified with Christ, dead, no more. Now you have a new life. You have Christ in you. You have a new nature. You are partakers of the divine nature. You have Christ in you. There's a new principle in life, a new philosophy of life which you want to say. And this change is brought by faith. Faith in the Son of God. That faith, you see, you have not seen Christ Jesus. I have not seen. But that does not mean that Christ Jesus never came down to earth and died on the cross, literally died and rose again from the dead 2,000 years ago. That doesn't change the fact that the truth. You have not seen, yes. In fact, John himself said, the Apostle John said, that you have not seen, yet you have believed. Blessed art thou, blessed are you. True. We did by faith. By faith. I have not seen Jesus Christ. I have not. And there are many people who say, why you believe in such a thing? All this written in the book here, old fashioned. Why should I believe them? Because here is Paul. I'd rather believe Paul. I'd rather believe all the disciples there. I'd rather believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I even believe this person? This person could be a professor or somebody else or whatever it is. And he tells me that, why are you going to believe what the Bible says, an old-fashioned book about Jesus Christ dying 2,000 years ago, dying for your sin? Ridiculous! All right. He says in such a manner, why should I believe him? I'd rather believe in the Apostle Paul, believe in Paul, Peter who even denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times, he repented. I'd rather believe in him and believe in Jesus Christ, believe in this word, than to believe in this person today. Oh, he cannot shake my faith. By the grace of God, should not. So by faith, I believe. And so my faith makes it real. Because it is real, I don't see it. So by faith, I believe that. Now, Christ is present in my body through the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. I have Christ in me. I have this divine nature. By faith, I don't feel anything. But I can see in my life the manifestation of that. That through the life since I became a Christian, there is change. There is change. There is conviction. There is change. There is the process of sanctification, of making me more and more, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do all this by faith. So Christ works in my life. He determines my thinking. He rules my life, my action, everything. The mind of Christ is in me, is in you, is in every Christian. And so that when we read His Word, we can understand the deep things of God. Do you know that you understand sometimes when you talk about the Word of God, some people, the Christians cannot understand, and then you find that I can understand. And sometimes you say, I've known a friend, talked to him so many times, he said that he has witnessed to another person, he's witnessed so many times, say, why can't he see the logic, the light of the Word of God? Why he can't see? Why? And I say, hey, don't be proud of yourself. At one time you also cannot, you could not see also. You know why he can see? Because he has the Holy Spirit. One doctor says that, unless I see, then I will believe. No, you must believe first, then you can see. There is a gospel for you already. Simple gospel. You can understand that. We have just said the gospel. You believe that first, and then you can see. I have met Christians. Only just lately I met some Christians. And you are talking about the things, the deeper things of God. And how wonderful that these Christians are able to express and say the things of God. It's wonderful, you know. Why? Because they have the Spirit of God in them. Because they have Christ in them. And they can see. Oh yes, the mind of Christ. The heart of Christ also beats in him, in the Christian. He has that compassion and love for souls, for others. And even the resurrection power of Christ is also in him. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is the new principle in life. That in whatever circumstances he is in, he lives for Christ. You and I can, you see, we are living in this world and God has allowed this world to develop in this way. Man has. And so we are in the world and we can't help it. In that sense, we have to work here and there and everywhere. And we have opportunities to climb up the corporation ladder. We have opportunities to make more and more money, more and more things, and have more and more things. We have this. There's nothing wrong in all these things per se. But if our life is only based on these things, these are the things that secure us, stabilize us. And these are the only thing in life. It's very sad. For the non-Christian, they believe in this. Just yesterday I met a man who's been very old, sick in hospital. Rich man. Who has not known Christ. He's everything. And if he should die without Christ, he can't bring anything with him. That's the end, finish. Everything is finished. And on the other side, empty, he has to face before God. Now, if you are a Christian, you are like this man, you have everything. Put it that way first. And if you die, you have something. You still have. You have salvation. You are with God. And of course, for every Christian, we know that we will stand before the judgment seat of God. We will have to face God. And the Lord Jesus Christ will ask you, what have you done with your life? You are very rich. God has blessed you everything. What have you done with your life? Now you have spent all those money for yourself on this earth. God still will not take that life away from you, that salvation is given to you. But when you stand before Jesus Christ on the judgment seat of God, and then you don't use all the things that God has given you, the talents that you have, and you used it and you become better and you can have a lot of possession, a lot of things, and you have not given this to the Lord, you have not used it for the extension of His kingdom, then as far as God is concerned, your reward is zero, but you are saved. But if God has given you all these things, no, it means that if you are a Christian, you still can have all these things, you, because you use every talent, every gift that God has given to you, and you used it, and you use it for His glory, for the extension of His kingdom, then God will reward you. Even if a cup, if you just only give a cup of water to someone, they say, you gave it because in your heart you are motivated by the love of Christ. He needs this cup of water. I'll give it in the name of Christ. I give it because Christ, God says what? I will reward you. So then, don't talk about the bigger things. True, of course. See? So don't ever think that because you become a Christian, you must not become this, you must become a poor man, you must become a pauper, you must become a beggar. No. That's not what God said. God will bless you and use you in different ways. Some will be blessed more, some will be blessed less. It's okay. You find that all in the Bible. You have Abraham, you have David, you have also Lazarus the beggar. God blessed differently, but all gave their lives to the Lord in whatever circumstances. Therefore, when in whatever circumstances, good and bad, you know how to handle it. If your principle in life is that Christ liveth in me, that the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God and of the Son of God for Him alone. So God gives, I thank God, I use it for it. God takes away my gifts, I thank God also, because He knows it. Wonderful. See, if you have this principle in life, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and I live by faith of the Son of God. And the last element here is that the Lord, it says here, the Lord loves me. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. If the Lord loves you and gave Himself for you, will He withhold anything that is good from you? He gave, He says, willing to give His life. He gave already His life for you. Will He withhold anything that is no good from you? No. The Bible says He will not withhold. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He will not withhold from you. If you live that life, the life that I now live by faith of the Son of God, my life is to honor Him, glorify Him, do His will. You walk uprightly before Him. He will not withhold anything good from you. How do you know? Because He gave His life, His Son. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me, who loved me and died for me. And that love He uses, agape love, sacrificial love. He will not withhold. See, how do we deal with God? Shame on us, you know, sometimes. The way we deal with God. We think we are cleverer than God, better than God. You can't outbid Him. You can't. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Are we faithful to the profession of faith in Him and the reality of what truly happened to us and in us and for us in Christ? So Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is our new principle, the principle in life. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sole meaning of life for me. Living in conscious dependence on Him, to whom I look for and do everything. In every circumstance in my life, I look to Him for guidance, for power, for deliverance. In everything I do with excellence according to the grace He bestows. I do my very best. And my ultimate purpose in life is to glorify Him and looking earnestly at His second coming. That was Paul's aim in life. What is your aim in life? What is your object in life? If you are a Christian, this should be Galatians 2:20. If you are a Christian. If you are not, you also can have this thing. You can have this, all these things that God has promised. You can. How? Be convicted of your sin before God. Repent. Accept Christ in your heart. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Put yourself, your name there. I died with Christ on the cross. As Christ died on the cross, I died with cross. Died on the cross with Christ. As Paul says, I am crucified. Put your own name there. I am crucified with Christ. And be with as Paul. As Paul says that, you internalize it. Put it yourself. Put yourselves the same. As you read that verse, you put yourselves. The I means you. And examine yourselves. Really? As Paul has gone through the experience, do I have the same? You have. Then when you die, like Paul, I have finished the race. I fought the good fight. I am ready. And I know a crown of righteousness is waiting for me. But if you have not, you can gain the whole world. Like Nero, who had everything. Nero, the emperor, who had everything. And when he died, he had nothing left. Better be like Paul. And he died. Ready. And then the hope of the resurrection. Let me end with this illustration from D.L. Moody. In the 2nd century, they brought a Christian before a king who wanted him to recant and give up Christ and Christianity. But the man spurned the proposition. But the king said, if you don't do it, I will banish you. The man smiled and answered, you can't banish me from Christ, for he says he will never leave me nor forsake me. The king got angry and said, well, I will confiscate your property and take it all from you. And the man replied, my treasures are laid up in heaven. You cannot get them. The king became still more angry and said, I will kill you. Why? The man answered, I've been dead 40 years. I've been dead with Christ, dead to the world, and my life is hid with Christ in God, and you cannot touch it. And so the king said to his men, what are you going to do with such a fanatic? You see that? That is the principle of our life. This is our life. God can give us everything. People can take it. No problem. We can, with this principle in life, we can overcome and handle any situation, any circumstance, anything, any experience in life. And God bless every one of us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that what you have given to us in this, through Paul, we pray that it will be personal to us too. And it's the way that we should live for you. You have shown us. May we be obedient and do it for your glory and for your honor. This we pray, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.